Good evening. We're glad you're here tonight. We're going to go ahead and get started. You glad you're saved? Amen. God's given us a great week of weather, and we've had a good time. How do you enjoy being outside like this and just relaxing, hearing the music? It's been wonderful. All right. Well, let's sing a couple songs tonight. Let's sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. At rest. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Sing Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. More tonight at Calvary, and then we're going to take some prayer requests, have some prayer. 587 at Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride at Calvary. Let's sing it together. all, we're glad you're here tonight. We're going to take a few prayer requests. And I told you last night to be praying for the Spongs. And Mrs. Spong had her test today. And Brother Spong drove her home and then drove all the way back to the church because he was so excited to tell me. He says they didn't find any cancer. And I guess they were checking for cancer. And so he was so excited about that. So praise the Lord. He wanted me to thank you for praying. And I guess he went home again and she was feeling well enough to go get some chicken for dinner. And she's hoping to be at church on Sunday. So pray to that end. And that would be a blessing. All right. Any other prayer requests tonight? Any other needs that we can pray about? Yes, ma'am. So that was a request to pray for Colton's family. And 2 years ago, his brother Greg came here and accepted Christ as his Savior. And we got him into Brother Wyatt's church in Cambridge. And he and his girlfriend then. And then they got married because they felt that was the right thing to do. And they hung on for about a year and they started fading away. And so pray for them and of course, Broderick and his mom and her boyfriend. And they need the Lord. So let's pray for them. All right. Continue to pray for Colton as well. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah. Kamar and Nancy Haddadi, of course, he took a job in Calgary, Alberta, and so it's with the same company he's with, I believe. He's trained and moved up to a better position, and right now he was driving every day to Dundas, and then driving a truck all day, and then driving home. He was gone about 14 hours a day and not seeing his family. So we hate to see him go, but this might be a better situation for their family. So pray for them. On Monday, they'll be driving all the way to Calgary with all their truck and everything they got. So pray for Journey Mercies for them and help them find a good church. All right, anybody else tonight? Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Ray Chapman, his cancer has returned, and so we need to remember him in prayer. We'll pray for you. Anybody else? All right, let's do this. It's good to have some visitors here tonight and some other churches, and if you're from another church, I'd like to hear about it. We didn't do that last night. New Testament, some folks from New Testament were here last night, and I think some the night before as well. They skipped their prayer meeting and came down, but I guess they had their pastor's blessing. But we have some folks over here. Brother Hess, why don't you introduce your church and some of your folks here to us tonight? You can use that microphone right beside you. It's on.
It's on?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, this is my wife, Kathy, and one of our ladies in the church there, Rachel, and brother right-hand man here, Brother Rick and Sharon. And we're from Lighthouse Bible Baptist Church, Six Nations Indian Reserve, so we sure are glad to be here tonight. Amen.
Amen. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Brother Hess's wife has a rare disease, and we need to pray for her. And things are going okay right now. Is that right? And but we know that's because of prayer. And you need to pray. I can't even say it, or I couldn't even describe it to you. So you just trust me to know to pray for her, and I appreciate that. Brother Wood, would you introduce your – you got a few with you?
Yep, just a couple with me. I'm Pastor Doug Wood and Lyle Featherstone and my grandson, Nolan. And I'm related to Brother Hess.
Amen.
You didn't know that, did you?
Yeah.
My son-in-law.
Right.
His cousin is
okay.
Her dad.
I know you guys intermarry up and down that highway all the time anyway. So
that's right.
All right. Very good. Anybody else? I can't always see everybody. Anybody else visiting tonight? All right. All right. Brother Wilf Broughton's here tonight, and he's been involved in a new church plant. He came and talked to me about a year and a half ago, and you're 99 now, brother? 99. He was 97 and a half, and he says, I got to get this new church going. He says, I'm not getting any younger. And praise the Lord, he did. I didn't know, but he's been helping with that. And they got a pastor up there now and planting a church. And praise the Lord. And that's exciting. So pray for the, it's Maynooth, the town of Maynooth. And what's the name of the church again? Anchor Baptist Church in Maynooth. We're glad you're here, Brother Broughton. All right. Also, I'll give you another prayer request. Brother Fry just came in. And my cousin's wife works at the Comfort Inn. And whenever we have a missions conference and everything, I always sick the missionaries on her and sick guest preachers on her. And I've talked to her several times. Well, tonight, he was able to share his entire testimony. And then he got his guitar out and sang a couple songs to her. And I don't know that it had much of an effect on her, but the manager of the hotel was standing there in tears. And so pray about that, that she'll accept the Lord. Both of them accept the Lord as their Savior. That'd be wonderful. All right, so I'm going to have Brother Wood stand and lead us in a word of prayer tonight and open our service, and we're going to have Brother Fry come, and we'll just turn the rest of the night over to him. All right, Brother Wood.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your grace in our life every day. We're so thankful you brought Brother Fry to us. We're thankful for the ministry you called him to and the life you called him from. Father, we pray your blessing on this evening, that everything would be done to the honor and the glory of our Lord Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen.
All right, Brother Fry, here you are. Come on up. Let me mention tonight, we've had a treat for you every night. So tonight we have the orange creamsicles. You know what those are? Oh, you know what those are. All right. So nobody will leave early, right? Amen. All right.
Well, good evening. It's good to see you. Thank you for coming. I tell you what, I really enjoy being with your pastor, and just got a sweet spirit and just enjoyed the time. And he took me out to hit some golf balls today. A sad thing that you have a $1 million golf course and you're in the woods half the day. It's just crazy. But we had a good time of fellowship, and I just thank you all for your kindness to me. All right, well. Got a few songs. Thank you, dear lady. Appreciate that. Got a few songs to play for you tonight before we get into the Word of God. And Brother Wood has a couple of requests, so I want to try to make sure I get those in for him. But I'm going to start with this one. Daddy, he was stronger than anyone I knew. Wasn't anything at all my daddy couldn't do. And I was dreaming of the day that I might fill my daddy's shoes. I should have known some things are just impossible to do. Daddy, he was given, and growing up I knew. I follow in his footsteps, doing everything he'd do. And I'd lie awake and count the days till he'd come home again. There was nothing like the sound at night of Daddy pulling in. Daddy's home. And as he pulled into the yard, I'd go running out to meet him. And I'd fly into his arms. At night it sure rests easy with my daddy down the hall. I can hear my mother saying, Daddy's home. Now the years have come, and the years have gone, and I find myself much older, with children of my own. Though leaving's never easy, always when I'm gone, I know just how my daddy felt when he finally made it home. Daddy's home. And as I pull into the yard, they come running out to meet me, and they fly into my arms. At night I sure rest easy with my family at home. I can hear their mother saying, Daddy's home. And as a father I need wisdom, lest I stumble and I fall. What a joy to know the Savior and creator of us all. And when my life has ended at his appointed time, I can almost hear my children share the promises then mine. Daddy's home, he's in paradise. Now he's gone to a mansion up on high. 'Cause Daddy, he knew Jesus, and it comes as no surprise. I can hear my children saying, Daddy's home. Yes, Daddy, he knew Jesus, and it comes as no surprise. I can hear their mother saying, Daddy's home. Amen. Well, I have a song that I want to play for you. And I was talking to somebody today, and just a little while ago, I think it was Brother Paul. And my grandmother and granddaddy had a little service station, a little country store. And during the summer times, I would go and to spend time with my grandma and my granddad, and I would help them at the country store. And they had gas pumps there, and gas was 27 cents a gallon when I was a kid. And not only did I pump the gas, but I would wash the windshield, check the oil, check the air in the tires. All of that was free. You just had to pay for the gas. And one of the main reasons that I like spending summers with my grandma and my granddad is because I just loved them dearly, and I love being around them. And the second reason was I was dodging work, because if I stayed at home during the summer, my daddy worked me like a dog. And so I would rather go and work at grandma and granddad's place than to stay home and work. So, but I met a fella at a state fair one time, and he was not a singer, not a songwriter, but he was a poetry man, and he wrote a poem about grandma's house. And after reading it, I went and asked him if he would allow me to put some music to it and make a song out of it. He said, well, you can if you want to, but just don't tear it up too bad. And I said, okay. And so I added a chorus and changed a few words here and there, but I tried not to tear it up too bad. But this always reminds me of days gone by and growing up with grandma and granddad. And I used to love to be around them because they were just funny. And my grandmother loved to fish, and I hated to fish, but I loved my grandmother, so I'd go fishing with her. And she would always tell me, Brucey, don't get close to the water, because if you fall in, I'm going to try to save you, and we're both going to drown because I can't swim. And so she would say funny things like that. But this is called Barefooted and Running Free. The old place is still standing, but somehow not the same. Grandma's not on the front porch. The mailbox has another name. The old pear tree in the front yard, standing full and tall. Sunset in the afternoon still shines right down the hall. And I can still remember what it meant to me to be a kid at grandma's house, barefooted and running free, gathering eggs in the barn, running from a setting hen, eating home fried chicken like I'll never taste again. And how I'd like to go back, but time has taken its toll. Grandma's long been laid to rest, and I'm a little old. Play tag in the backyard with home base a tree, pick blackberries in my hat, barefooted and running free. Barefooted and running free. An old tire hanging from an old oak tree. When I close my eyes, my mind can clearly see a younger me, barefooted and running free. There ain't no place like Grandma's. So much to do and so much to see. So if you still have your grandma, give her a hug for me. While I just keep on dreaming of how it used to be. When I was a kid at Grandma's house, barefooted and running free. When I was a kid at Grandma's house, barefooted and running free. Well, I sang you a sad one, now I'll sing you a funny one, all right? Get you from crying 1 minute, laughing the next, all right? Well, this is a song that I wrote. How many of you have ever heard of Andy Griffith? The Matlock Show or Andy Griffith Show? Well, I was a big fan of Andy Griffith for many years, and before I was saved, I didn't go to church, I didn't read the Bible, but I watched Andy Griffith religiously every single day. As a matter of fact, I have so much of it in my head, I can't get it out. It's all in my hard drive. I remember when I got saved, I said, God, would you help me get Bible in and Andy out? And so he's been helping me with that. I used to know a lot of trivia, and I've forgotten a lot of things. I used to know the license plate number on his car, the address of his house on the show, all kind of crazy things. And praise the Lord, some of that has faded away. But when I got married, everything reminds me of the Andy Griffith Show. When things would happen, then I'd just say a quote from the Andy Griffith Show. And, of course, my wife, I just married her, and she would look at me and go, what in the world are you talking about? And I said, Andy and Barney, Andy and Barney, didn't you ever watch it? And she said, not really. And so she started watching the show with me a little bit, and she said, this is where you're getting all this mess. She said, oh, my life, I've married Barney Fife. So this song is about somebody who watches the Andy Griffith Show way, way too much. And if you don't watch the show, the song's not going to make any sense to you anyway. But this is called Nip It in the Bud. Stare at the screen with crazed bloodshot eyes, empty pop bottles, chicken that's fried. Andy, time for supper. Rerun to rerun, I just can't break free. There's Andy and me, and baby makes three. Don't worry, we'll get him. I gotta nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. I think I need to get a life and say goodbye to Barney Fife. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Now Floyd always said, ooh, how about a haircut? It's a beautiful thing to watch Google work. Ain't you got a jack? Or to hear Gomer sing Santa Lucia. And Otis can jump rope with a bottle in hand. But Andy can't get me to just call the man. Call the man, Aunt B. I gotta nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. I think I need to get a life and say goodbye to Barney Fife. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Ernest T. Bass, she called me a creature. Can sure chunk a rock. And Opie the Birdman, he sure learned a lot. Winking tails blinking, and blinking whispers to Nod. And Nod tips off Barney that I'm losing it all. My whole body's a weapon. I gotta nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. I fear I'll never have a life or ever hooked on Fearless Fife. Nip it, nip it, nip it in the bud. Oh my Barney, had a jail and couldn't lock it. Had one bullet for his pistol, had to keep it in his pocket. His left shirt pocket. Episode 117, The Shoplifters, his right shirt pocket. pocket. Barney messed up, and I noticed because I watched it way, way too much. 249 shows over and over and over again. Most all the other episodes except for maybe three. His left shirt pocket. You don't think I can get banjo sounds out of this jug? Man's entitled to his opinion. And I'm not going to be beat to death with no spoon, and you might as well give her a little poke while she's a-bugging. And we thought about killing him. Kind of hated to go that far. I got a nip it in the bud. I lost a bunch of you on that one. Nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. I might get my hand in those petunias yet, Andy. So there you have it. Just a little something for fun. I don't know if it was fun for you, but it was fun for me. All right? You're very kind. All right. Well, Brother Wood had a couple of requests. I'm going to do those, and then we'll open the bread of life. All right? Don't cry for me when my life's over. For my soul, he'll come to claim. Because I know I'll live forever there within the Lord's domain. And if I'm there before this day is over, I'll be there before you know I'm gone. Don't shed for me your tears of sorrow, for Jesus takes care of his own. Don't mourn for me when I have left here. Eternal peace there will be found. The choice was mine from the beginning. My Savior knows I'm heaven bound. And if I'm there before this day is over, I'll be there before you know I'm gone. Don't shed for me your tears of sorrow, for Jesus takes care of his own. Jesus takes care of his own. Amen. This next song is a song that was taught to me by a friend of mine. I once was lost in sin's dark valley, drowning in life's angry sea, going down, no one to help me, but Jesus' love has lifted me. Though the storm around me rages, I'm holding to his nail-scarred hand. He brought me out troubled water. He set my feet on peaceful land. And now I'm free from angry waters. By faith I'm washed in Jesus' blood. I'll drink water clean and peaceful. Flows down from the throne of God. Though the storm around me rages, I'm holding to his nail-scarred hand. He brought me out troubled water. He set my feet on peaceful land. Though the storm around me I'm holding to his nail-scarred hand. He brought me out troubled water. He set my feet on peaceful land. He set my feet on peaceful land. Well, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, would you open them with me to Hebrews chapter 12? Hebrews chapter 12. I think the wind may be calming down a little bit. Maybe my papers won't get blown away this evening. We shall see. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm just going to read verses 1 and verse 2, and then we'll pray and jump right in here this evening. And I do want to thank you so much for looking after me and allowing me to be here with you. I'm looking forward to a Sunday morning and being able to share with you how Christ has changed my life. So grateful just to be able to serve Him. What a joy, what a privilege it is. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I'd like to bring you a message this evening entitled, "Keep On, Keeping On." Let's bow for prayer. Father God in heaven, again as I bow my head and my heart, privately I have prayed, but publicly now I acknowledge my need of You, Lord. I cannot do this without You. Without You, I can't do nothing. But I thank God that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth in me. And I need Your strength, Father. I need Your power. I need Your presence. I pray that You would fill me and use me in the time that we have together. I pray that You would use this message to encourage the brethren. And Father, although we're living in a world that's going crazy and going the wrong way, Lord, we have a God in heaven who is going the right way. And Father, we're trying the best we can to go the right way, and sometimes it just gets hard. Help us to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. And Father, I pray for that brother or sister in Christ who is just discouraged a little bit tonight, that You would encourage them through the Word of God. And we'll give You honor and glory for any good that comes out of it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to read you a little something I found in a magazine. It said, "I recently came across a story of a father who ran to check on his young son after a powerful earthquake hit the area they lived in. When this father reached the school where his son had been, he found nothing but a pile of rubble and debris. As other parents stood by crying, this father began to dig. Though many people told him it was useless and tried to pull him away, he kept at it. Stone by stone, beam by beam, he dug through the night and into the next day. Finally, he heard a voice cry, 'Papa!' As he fiercely continued to dig, he eventually saw the face of his young son. 'I told the other kids not to worry,' his son said, 'because You told me You'd always be there for me.' And this father was faithful to his promise. He kept on keeping on. And there's a God in heaven who says, 'I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee.' And we can bank on it. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to leave us alone. And He's going to take care of us. But He just wants us to keep on keeping on for His glory." Now, the Bible says in another verse in the Word of God, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, in the latter part of the verse, "Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." That thou fulfill it. You know, God wants every born-again Christian to have some sort of ministry, whether it be a prayer ministry, whether it be working on the bus ministry, whether it be singing in the choir, whatever it is, God wants every born-again Christian to have some sort of ministry, and He wants us to take heed to it, and He wants us to fulfill it. He wants us to finish the job that He's given us to do. I heard this saying one time, there's a job to be done, there's a race to be run, and there's a crown to be won. We talked about the crowns last night. Bob Jones III said this, "Find the will of God and do it." And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that I am in the middle of God's will. I believe that I'm doing what God has called me to do. To be an evangelist, a preacher of the gospel, to go around and sing and preach for His glory and for His honor. I believe that with all my heart. The first point here I want to mention to you tonight and ask this question is, who can do what we do? God reminds us through these verses of Scripture to keep on keeping on, because anybody could do what we do as long as they're willing to do it. And right here in Hebrews chapter 12, in the first part of the first verse, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, who is He talking about? He's talking about those that have already gone on to glory. There's a cloud of witnesses that I believe that are watching everything that's going on down here. And you know, when I look at that, if you go back a chapter in the, of course, the Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter, and you have the names of all those that did some things for the Lord, and some of their lives were messed up before they did something for God. And I thank God that He can use somebody like me who messed up and still use them for His glory and honor somehow, some way. And we look at Moses. He stuttered. He was a murderer, and God used Moses. David was an adulterer and a murderer, and God used David greatly in the Bible. Gideon and Thomas and John the Baptist all doubted the Lord, and God still used them. So God can use anybody who is willing to be used. Listen to these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, it starts. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. So who can do what we do? God reminds us to keep on keeping on, because He can use anybody that's willing to be used. And if He can use a donkey, He can use me and He can use you. Amen? Then secondly, when we do what we do, God reminds us to keep on keeping on. The Bible says in the second part of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the second part, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know what? Sometimes people have a besetting sin that keeps them from keep on keeping on. It bogs them down. And I don't know if you're here tonight and there's some sin in your life that's keeping you from doing what God has called you to do. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to confess that sin, then forsake that sin, and then keep on keeping on for the glory of God. You know, it says here also, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, when the Bible says let us run with patience, you think about if you're in a race, you want to get to the finish line and you want to get there in a hurry. But that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is day by day, moment by moment. And you have to live that in a way, and you have to pace yourself living. Because if you go too hard, you go too fast, you're going to burn up, you're going to burn out, and you're going to quit, and you're not going to be able to keep on keeping on. So God says He wants us to run this race with patience that is set before us. And He tells us to do that because He reminds us to keep on keeping on, because He says in His Word, there are times when you are going to get weary, you are going to get tired. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Galatians 6, 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now that word weary in the first part of that verse is talking about the mind, because a lot of times when you're trying to live the Christian life, the first place you're going to get weary is in your mind, because the mind is the battlefield. That's why God says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because this is where the devil is going to attack you, because if he can get you to thinking wrong, then you're eventually going to start doing wrong. And so the battle is in the mind. That's why God commands us to memorize Scripture. And the more of God's Word you can get in, the more it washes you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word, the Bible says. And so God wants us not to be weary in our mind, because we get weary in the mind, then we're going to get weary in the body. And that's what it talks about in the second part of the verse. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. See, the mind is talking about that part, the mental part, and then the faint not part is talking about the physical, because a lot of times you get weary in the battle and you get tired in the mind, then the body follows and you just get weary and you just want to get quit. And people ask me, they say, Bruce, you travel all over the country and out of the country doing what you do. Do you ever get tired? And I said, absolutely. I said, I get physically tired sometimes, especially when I'm going to coast and the time changes and the differences and things like that. But I get tired in the work, but I don't get tired of the work. This is the greatest job in the world, going around and telling people about Jesus Christ. I can tell you that. But there were some other people in the Bible who I bet they got a little tired, and there were times that they didn't know whether they could keep on keeping on or not. Think about Noah. He preached for 120 years, and the only people that got saved were his family. Only the 8 people that got on the boat survived. You think maybe during that time he got a little discouraged? You think he thought about quitting from time to time? But you know what? He kept on keeping on for the glory of God, because he knew that God had a plan and God had a purpose, so he just kept on doing what God called him to do. And some people would look at Noah and say, well, he was a failure. He didn't have too many converts, did he? You know what? God just says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't have to worry about the numbers. God will worry about the numbers. You just be faithful. That's all God asks you to do. And think about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. For 70 years he preached and nobody got saved. Nobody wanted to listen to him. And all the things that he went through, and I'm sure that he got tired from time to time. But you know what? God gave Noah and Jeremiah strength to finish their race, and God will give you and I strength to finish our race as well. Think about this. Jesus prepared for 30 years for a 3-year ministry. You know what, son? That would take a lot of patience, wouldn't it? To just for 30 years to wait and then all of a sudden start a ministry that only lasted 3 years. But he did a lot in those 3 years, I can tell you that. And it takes strength and endurance not to drop out of the race. So who can do what we do? Anybody can that's willing to do something for the cause of Christ. And when we do what we do, God reminds us to keep on keeping on, because he does say in his word, there are times you're going to get weary. There are times you're going to get tired. He even told his disciples, he said, come apart and rest a while. You know, so thirdly here, why we do what we do. And I think this is the most important thing of all. Why we do what we do. God reminds us to keep on keeping on. In Colossians chapter 3 and verses 23 and 24, the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. See where the focus is? It's on doing what you're doing for him and his glory and not your own. Because when God gets the glory, when we do it for the right motive, and we mentioned that last night as well. And the second part of the verse, the second verse in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, here's the reason why we do what we do, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who the joy that's set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure, not our good pleasure, but of his good pleasure. 1 Corinthians 1:29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether for ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. Everything that we're doing, we should be bringing God glory and not bringing attention to ourselves. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, Jesus said, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, and here it is again, in the Lord. In the Lord, 1 Corinthians 3:13. We talked about this last night as well. Every man's work shall be made manifest or brought to light, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So why you do what you do should bring God glory. I want to read you a little something here. This is a story about a man who I believe was doing what he was doing for the glory of God and not for his own glory. I was able to meet this man. I did some meetings with him in Michigan, some camp meetings with him, and he was a dear friend of mine, and he went on to be with the Lord. But how many of you have read the poem or the little saying, Footprints in the Sand? Anybody remember that? Well, you know, if you always look at the plaques or when it's in books and stuff, it either says author unknown or unknown author. This man I'm getting ready to tell you about was the author of this Footprints in the Sand, but nobody knew it. And here's his story. In the 1970s, a dear preacher friend of mine, Brother Willard Thomas, was at that time not yet a pastor, but rather a godly layman in the church his brother Edgar Thomas pastored in Gainesville, Georgia. Brother Willard had many years been used of God to encourage hearts as a very gifted poet. He was a salesman, very successful, but due to the tough economy of the late 1970s, his business began to struggle. In a matter of a few weeks, he was facing bankruptcy. After much thought, Brother Willard drove to an abandoned gravel pit with a loaded gun sitting beside him in a car seat. He planned to commit suicide, but while he poured out his broken heart to God, God got in that lonely car with Brother Willard and absolutely overwhelmed him with his tender, loving care. And rather than commit suicide, Brother Willard began to jot a few notes down on paper. By the time he was done, the world-famous poem, Footprints, had been written by this humble Christian man. He never told anybody about this ordeal, but not long after, His pastor, his brother Edgar, asked him during a missions conference at their church if he had any new poetry to encourage hearts one night. The only thing he had with him was Footprints. He read it that night, and tears of joy filled many hearts. And after the service, a missionary approached him and asked if he could have a copy of this poem. It was his only copy, but he gave it to him anyway. Several years later, he was in a Christian bookstore, and he saw Footprints etched on a plaque, with the credit being author unknown, and he could not believe his eyes. He began to see the poem on numerous greeting cards, and many friends tried to persuade him to take his case to court when others tried to take credit for the poem, but he refused, even though several other people claimed to be the unknown author. And his reasoning was simply this: it belongs to God, and his tremendous blessings upon this poem should not be tarnished by greed. That was a man who was doing what he was doing for the glory of God, not for a pat on the back. And he said this: after all, when I'm dead and gone, will it really matter who wrote Footprints anyway? Wow. That was a man who was keeping on, keeping on, even though he could have made a lot of money. He said, I just don't care. I'm just going to let God keep his hand on that poem. What a wonderful thing. You know what? If you do what you do for your own glory, you're going to get discouraged and you'll quit because you'll never feel like you've done enough. And remember, God doesn't need your ability. He just wants your availability. And God takes ordinary people to do extraordinary things so that he gets the glory. And God has been looking for somebody just like you or just like me who will say, Father, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul wrote these words under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So tonight I'm urging you to use your gift, whatever that may be, to finish strong, to keep on, keeping on for the glory of God. And the Bible even says in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. And you may be here tonight, and you may be a little discouraged, and maybe ready to quit on your Sunday school class, or a bus route, or a job, or a marriage, something going on in your life, and God is saying to you tonight, don't give up, keep on keeping on. You know, there's times that I've gotten a little discouraged and gotten a little down, and I have a file cabinet where I keep letters, people that have written me over the years that I've been in the ministry, some from pastors, from teenagers, some from some little kids. I have hundreds of little pieces of paper where kids drew pictures of me playing my guitar and love you, Brother Fry, and sign their name. And I can sit down and open that cabinet and start pulling those letters out and read them. And all of a sudden, tears of joy will start flooding my soul. And I look at that and I say, God, you know what? Maybe I am making the difference here somehow, some way. And that's what God wants us to do. He says, of some have compassion, making a difference. Others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And so sometimes I had several of those letters I could have read to you tonight, but I'm not going to do that. But there was one in particular, this little boy named Casey. I went to the school. It was in Maryland. And it's really hard to get into public schools in the United States and unless you know somebody or God just opens the door. And he opened the door for me to go in this public school. And there were 75 young people there, 7th and 8th graders. And they told me right before I walked on the platform there, the principal came up to me and he said, Bruce, you can't say Jesus and you can't say God. And I thought to myself, well, what am I going to say? He said, you can invite these kids to come to the meeting. You can tell them the name of the church, where it is, but you can't preach. You can't do this. And so I sang a couple of fun songs, tried to win their hearts. And then I would get ready to sing one song. And I said, well, I can't sing that one. That's got Jesus in it. And that one's got God in it. I had a really hard time. I'll be honest with you. I invited him there. I told him, I said, look, I'd like to tell you, I said, I was a drunk, I was a drug addict, and I said, but somebody changed my life. And I wish I could tell you who it was, but I knew that if I did, then the church would never be able to get him back into the school. So I had to be very careful. And so I said this, I said, kids, I said, if you want to hear the rest of the story, I said, you need to come to the meeting where I'll be. And here's the name of the church. And we've left some flyers out. If you want to grab them, take them home and ask your mom and dad if you can come. And I'm telling you, we left that school. The pastor dropped me off at my hotel, and I went in and got on my knees beside my bed, and I just wept. And I said, God, that's the worst speech, whatever you want to call it, that I just did. And I said, Lord, I don't even know if I said anything that made a difference in the lives of these kids. And I said, I feel like such a failure. And I was just, I'm telling you, I was brokenhearted. And I said, God, I said, what? I don't know. What in the world? Did anything I say make a difference in anybody's life? And then the next night, that night of the meeting, there was one young boy named Casey who came to that meeting that night. Out of all those 75 kids, one came. And I preached a message that night, and Casey came forward and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He came back the next night, and he brought his cousin and his little sister with him, and his cousin got saved the next night. And then that was Friday, and he walked up to me, and he said, Brother Bruce, he said, tomorrow's Saturday. He said, what do you people do on Saturday? And I said, well, Casey, I said, we're going to take some teenagers tomorrow, and we're going to go around in a van, and we're going to knock on some doors and pass out flyers, invite people to come to church. And he said, could I do that? And I said, of course you could do that. I said, as a matter of fact, you can be my partner. And so I took Casey that next day, and we went around knocking on doors, and I could stay up here for hours telling you what God did that day, because everywhere we went, everybody knew that boy. And we got to witness to his friends, to some of his family members. It was incredible. And the last door that we went to, there was a screen door there, and I was standing there, and Casey's over here. Because I told him, I said, Casey, you just watch what I do and learn, you know. And I said, I'll try to teach you how to be a soul winner. And I said, you know, it may take you a little while and stuff, but I said, if there's something you want to say, you think God wants you to say something, you go right ahead, buddy. I said, but just, for the most part, just let me talk if that's okay. And he said, yeah, that's great. That's great. I'm just glad to be with you, you know. He was so excited. He was so excited. And this last lady we were talking to, she was behind the screen door. And I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with her. She started to cry. And I said, dear lady, do you realize at this moment in your life that you need Jesus Christ more than you need breath? She said, yes, I do. And I said, would you like to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior right here, right now? She said, no, I don't think I'm ready to do that right this second, but I appreciate you talking to me. And before I could say another word, Casey just kind of leaned over my shoulder, and he went, I did that Thursday. And I mean, his face was beaming with the glory of God on it. And that lady looked like somebody hit her with a baseball bat. And I said, ma'am, I said, Casey just trusted Christ as his Savior Thursday night, and he's out here because he loves you, and he wants you to know the Jesus that he's just found. And so I said, we're going to be praying for you, and thank you for letting us talk to you today. And she thanked us, and I left some material there that she'd get once we left, because she didn't want to open the door, and I understood that. And we went back and got on the bus. We just had a great time. And the next day, Casey came to church, and after the service was over, he was standing beside me, and he was looking me up and down. And I said, what are you looking at, boy? He said, that's a nice suit. He said, I've never had a suit like that. And I mean, right there, I said, I'm going to get this boy a suit. So I went to the youth pastor, and I said, look, I said, Casey wants a suit. He said, you're kidding me. He said, Bruce, somebody just donated a closet full of suits to our church, and they're brand new. I said, you're kidding. So we took Casey back there, and Casey got him a brand new suit and suited up. And he came back Sunday night, and he asked me, he said, is there something I can do? Is there something they can let me do? And I told the youth pastor, I said, you better put that boy to work, man. And so they let him take up the offering that Sunday night in his brand new suit. I preached a message that Sunday night. Several people came to the altar to pray. And there's my friend, little Casey, at the altar, praying for his mom, praying for his dad, praying for his family in his brand new suit. I went down there and prayed with him. It was just a sweet time. I was getting ready to leave. I had to drive that night, and I was getting ready to leave, and he was standing in the front of my van like this, and he said, no, Brother Bruce, you can't go. You have to stay here. And I said, buddy, I'm sorry. I got to go. And he wrote me a letter. It was just a short little letter, and he said, Bruce, he said, I believe that I was 1% of the reason that you came to my school. And guess what? Casey went back there to start a Bible club in his school. And you know what? When I read that letter from Casey and other letters like that, That helps me to keep on keeping on when I get a little discouraged from time to time. But you know what? If you're just faithful in doing what God has called you to do, you know, He's going to take care of everything else, and He'll encourage you when you get discouraged. Just keep on keeping on. My brother Sammy was in Sweetwater, Texas. When he was out there in Sweetwater, Texas, he was going from door to door selling books. He had gone out there for one main reason, to make money, and that was it. He had purposed in his mind. He said he had heard that people could go out and for a summer make so much money that they could take that money and then do whatever they wanted to. And his plan was to go to either California or New York City and get into modeling and acting. He wanted to be a star. Like I wanted to be a country music star, a country rock and roll star. He wanted to be an actor and wanted to be a star like that. And so he was out there knocking on those doors, and he had made a promise to himself. He said, I don't care if anybody else on the team gives up and quits. He said, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm not going to quit, no matter how tired I get, no matter how discouraged. And he said some days he would work 14, 15, 16 hours a day in the hot Texas sun. And as he was knocking on those doors in Sweetwater, he called home one day, and he was talking to my mom on the phone. And he told her, he said, Mama, he said, you wouldn't believe how hot it is out here. And he said, I'm really tired, and I'm just a little... He wasn't going to quit, but he was discouraged, and my mother started weeping. She couldn't even talk, so she just handed the phone to my dad. And when my dad got on the phone, he said, what's going on, boy? Oh, he said, I just wanted to call and say hey to you, Dad, and you, and talk to you and Mom. I'm just feeling a little homesick, a little discouraged and stuff. And he said, son, finish the job and then come home. He said, well, I'm going to do that, Dad. He said, but I just wanted to tell you how hot it was. And he said, boy, just finish the job and then come home. He said, okay, Dad. And I'm glad that my dad encouraged my brother to keep on keeping on, because it was that summer of 1977 that my brother Sammy fell on his knees, cried out to God, and was born again. And then he prayed for me for 21 years to be saved. And I'm glad my brother didn't quit praying. I'm glad he just kept on keeping on. Even though he said sometimes he would get so discouraged, he would see me when I would come home and I had the long hair and I was the drinker, the drug addict, and I was just a mess. And he would look at me and say, God, are you ever going to save my brother? But guess what? He didn't quit praying. He just kept on keeping on. And I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't quit. But you know, more importantly, that I'm glad that my brother didn't quit, I'm glad that Jesus Christ didn't quit on his way to the cross. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 6 and 7, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And he set his face like a flint and went all the way to the cross. And I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ kept on keeping on and went all the way to the cross. Even though when he was in the garden, he cried out in agony and sweat those drops of blood, as he said in Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I can imagine all from the bowels of heaven, God Almighty saying, son, just finish the job and then come home. Just finish the job and then come home. And when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, I've had this picture in my mind of him saying, Father, I have finished the work which thou hast sent me to do. And I can imagine God the Father saying, son, it is enough. Welcome home. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18 says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We need to live for God. We need to love others. And we need to look for His coming. Let's fight a good fight. Let's guard our faith so we can have a glorious finish and make God look good. Because that's our purpose, to make Him look good. I heard a story about a little boy who was standing in the snow and he was barefooted. And he had his face pressed against a glass. And inside the window was a bakery and there were donuts and pastries and all these things. He's freezing, he's cold, and he's barefooted. And he's looking in there and he's hungry. Right across the street, there was a shoe store. The man in the shoe store saw the little boy out there with no shoes on his feet looking in the window, but he did nothing. The man in the pastry shop saw the little boy with his face pressed against the window, realizing he's probably starving to death and never did a thing. But praise the Lord, this little lady came by, and she said, "Son, come with me." She took him over to the shoe store, bought him some socks and shoes, bought him some clothes, bought him a jacket. She said, "Now let's go next door." Then she took him into the pastry place, bought him whatever he wanted to eat. And after he got through filling himself up, he looked up at her with tears in his eyes. He said, "Lady, are you God's wife?" She said, "No, son. I'm just one of His children." He said, "Well, I knew you must be related to Him somehow." You know what? If we make God look good, people are going to say, "Well, you must be related to Jesus Christ." Would you bow your head and close your eyes this evening? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question tonight, Christian. As you're running your race, are you getting a little tired? Are you a little weary in the battle? You say, "Brother Bruce, pray for me." Yeah, I'm a little tired. I'm a little weary. Would you pray for me? Anybody I could pray for like that tonight at all? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Bruce, pray for me because I'm just a little weary. God bless you. Thank you. Father God in heaven, You've seen the hands of Your children. And Lord, we're in a battle. I realize that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. But Father, even though I know that, sometimes it's just hard. So I pray for these, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that are going through some things, maybe physical, maybe financial, maybe spiritual, whatever it may be. Father, would You help them to keep on keeping on for the glory of God? Would You encourage them tonight? And Father, I pray, Lord, by chance, if there's anybody that can hear my voice tonight and they don't know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would see their need to be born again into Your family by putting their trust and faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll ask this question. If you're here tonight with your head bowed and your eyes closed, nobody looking around, just between me and you and God, and if you were to die right this second, and you're not 100% sure that you go to heaven, would you let me pray for you? Would you be honest with me and honest with God? I won't tell anybody. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Will you slip your hand up and say, "Bruce, pray for me, because if I died right where I'm sitting right this second, I'm not sure that I'm heaven born and heaven bound." God bless you. God sees your little hand, sees your little heart. Anybody else? "Bruce, pray for me, because I'm just not sure heaven's my home. I have a doubt about it, and I surely don't want to go to hell. Would you please pray for me?" Father, You've seen this little hand and You've seen this little heart, and I pray, Lord, that You would help them to understand Your love, Your grace, Your mercy. And Father, we thank You that You're long-suffering, that You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Father, thank You again for the sweet weather that You've given us. Thank You for the time that we've had these last few days out here in Your creation, enjoying this weather and enjoying each other's company and the fellowship of God's people. Thank You for the Word of God. And Father, as I sing these last songs to close out the meeting tonight, thank You for giving me this talent so that I could share it with other people, not so I would get a clap for it or award for it, but that You could get the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen and amen. Well, all right. I'd like to sing you a song. I was praying about what God would have me to sing tonight. And there was a time when I was opening the show for a country band called Shenandoah. And I did my little 30 minutes, and then they were going to do their part. And then I had to play another club that night. This was years ago before I got saved. And the lead singer of that band walked up to the microphone and said these words: "Before we sing a word or before we play a note, we're going to stop right now, and I'm going to pray and thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, I'm sitting down there lost, and I'm thinking, what is he talking about Jesus for? He's getting ready to play same old country music that I'm playing. But what I didn't know is that Marty Raven, the lead singer of that band, had just recently gotten saved. Now he's not with that band anymore, and he does gospel music. And then it was a few years later, after I got saved, I was doing, we were trying to win some bikers to Christ, motorcycle people. And, you know, that was the crowd that used to come and hear me sing. A lot of times when I played clubs, the Hells Angels would come hear me sing. The Outlaw motorcycle gang would come. Not at the same time, or they'd have killed each other. But that was some of the crowd. I was never in a motorcycle gang, but a lot of those guys would come. So I had a heart to try to get the gospel to some of them. And we were on a flatbed truck just like this and singing songs to those bikers that day. And one of my friends sang this song that I'm getting ready to sing to you. And when we got through that day, I asked him, I said, "Did you write that song?" And he said, "No." He said, "A guy by the name of Marty Raven wrote that song. You remember that guy?" And I said, "Yes, I do remember that guy." And so it just, the Lord put it on my heart to record this song that he wrote. Sam was a carpenter 50 years, pounding out blood, sweat, and tears. And one day he hung his hammer up, 'cause he wanted to do the things he loved. What once was Sunday fishing now was 7 days a week. Told his wife to find me, I'd be down at the creek. 'Cause I don't want to drive another nail. I want to live my life for you. I want to do it well. I've got the scars in these two hands to show I didn't fail. I don't want to drive another nail." She was a woman full of faith, and old Sam was full of pride. But she knew he had one more job to do before he died. And Easter Sunday rolled around in a country church for the lost and found. Old Sam was there against his will as the preacher spoke on Calvary's Hill, on how they took the master and nailed him to a tree. You could hear old Sam a-crying as he fell down on his knees. "Lord, I don't want to drive another nail. I want to live my life for you. I want to do it well. Got the scars in your two hands to show where I have failed. Lord, I don't want to drive another nail. Lord, I don't want to drive another nail. I want to live my life for you. I want to do it well. You've got the scars in your two hands to show where I have failed. Lord, I don't want to drive another nail." Amen. Well, I played this last night, but I had a request to do it again tonight. "I came into this world alone, no family or home, lost and without hope. And though our blood was not the same, you gave me your last name, and I became your own. adopted by your love for me, a brand new family that I can call my own. Gave me clothes and food to eat, took care of my every need when I was but a youth. Shared God's precious word with me so that I could clearly see the promise of His truth. Adopted by your love for me, a brand new family that I can call my own. Came into this world alone, and no family or home, lost and without hope. Though our blood was not the same, you heard when I called your name, I became your own. Adopted by your love for me, a brand new family that I can call my own. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for my earthly family, and for heaven I call home. Amen. Well, I'm going to sing this song. It kind of goes along with the message that I just preached. I think I might have sang this last night, too. Well, in this world full of broken life, trials and temptations on every side, in the face of such uncertain times, there's a peace that I find. I'm one day closer home, looking up and pressing on. I guess I'll just keep on keeping on, one day closer home. In a changing world where wrong is right, some turn away and say no use to try. My hope is certain, and one thing I know, it is well with my soul. Well, I'm one day closer home. I'm looking up and pressing on. I guess I'll just keep on keeping on, one day closer home. One day closer home. Amen. Well, why don't we sing one together in the night out this evening? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear really. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I had already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Pastor?
Let's thank Brother Fry tonight. Amen. All right, we're going to give him the day off tomorrow, but Sunday morning, bright and early, 10 a.m., we're going to have everybody in the auditorium for Sunday school. Brother Fry is going to share about decisions he made even as a child that led him on a wrong path. And so I guess I better be careful about that speaker. And then in the morning service, he's going to preach how God saved him from all that. So you'll want to come to that. It'll be a real blessing to you. We're going to have all our kids in there for Sunday school, and we'll have a great time together. All right. Tonight, we're going to give you some ice cream, all right? So the young people have gone back to get some of those orange creamsicles. So make sure you pick up one of those before you go. And if you'd like to get some music from Brother Fry, just step in through this door right here. He has a table set up, lots of music there, and it'll be a real blessing in your home. We haven't taken an offering all week because we want you to get some music. Use that money to get some music, and that'll be a help to your family. All right? Is that all I need to announce? I feel like I'm forgetting something. Chicken on the grounds. Is anybody interested? All right. At 4 o'clock, I guess some of the young people are going to play a soccer game or something, and sometimes there's some games for the kids. Just come and sit in the shade and fellowship if you like around 5 o'clock. We're going to have our annual Chicken on the Grounds dinner. And then, of course, right after the dinner, whenever we finish up and clean up from that a little bit, we'll have our evening service with Brother Fry. All right? So we're looking forward to a great day Sunday. So Sunday morning's in the auditorium. Sunday afternoon, we're out here into the evening. And it's going to be a great time. Brother Wood, do you still have that microphone? Would you pass that to Brother Hess? And we'll have him close our evening in prayer, if you would, Brother Hess.
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Fathers, we bow before you this evening, and we're so thankful, Lord, for our hearts being challenged to just keep on keeping on, Lord. And certainly we're living in a day that we do need that encouragement. And I pray and thank you for the preacher tonight, being mindful of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and speaking to us the way he has. And God, we just pray tonight and thank you for everything, Lord. I ask, dear God, that something has been said that has an eternal value this evening. Lord, we look to you, certainly you being the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you for this fine church. I pray you'd bless the ministry here. Help us to let our light shine, Lord, that men may see our good works and glorify our Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Get you some music, get you some ice cream, and they'll have the ice cream right up here, all right? Have a great night.